Lawmakers in Congress struck a deal to keep the Food and Drug Administration funded for 5 years. But as a compromise, Democrats had to concede to Republican demands and agreed not to issue any new reforms during this 5-year period. And that's a big concession for Democrats who are hoping to make some big changes. Rachel Kors is Washington correspondent for our partners at Stat News. Rachel, hello.
Hi.
So this will keep the lights on at the FDA, but it will not include reforms that many lawmakers wanted. So what key reforms got sidelined here?
Yes, that's an excellent question. So the most important priority, as you mentioned, is taken care of. There won't be any pink slips at the FDA. The agency will, you know, continue functioning. But again, it's a definitely a missed opportunity for some patient-friendly reforms that were really bipartisan for most of the process, but kind of fell apart in the most recent months. So I think one big one was that lawmakers were hoping to strengthen the FDA's oversight of cosmetics. Right now, the FDA doesn't approve cosmetic products. They, you know, can't pull them off the market. Mm-hmm. There were reforms to how the agency oversees dietary supplements, reforms to kind of oversight for programs that allow patients to access really new, innovative drugs, and just accountability for manufacturers. And those were kind of three, you know, big items that they had really hoped to accomplish. Oversight of clinical lab tests. There was a whole laundry list of items that there had been bipartisan agreement, but didn't make it across the finish line.
So for Americans, does this mean, say, a lot of the vitamin aisle with nutritional supplements stays largely unregulated? Does it mean that some generic drugs that might have been sped up by these reforms, that's not going to happen?
Yes. I mean, essentially, it's status quo. And the thing about FDA funding is that the industry kind of helps fund the agency. It's kind of an unusual arrangement, mm-hmm. but those deals are only cut every 5 years. So like former FDA commissioner Scott Gottlieb called this kind of a once in a generation opportunity to reform the FDA because Democrats have control of Congress and the White House. And it's looking like at least they have one more shot at reform in mm-hmm. December, but it's not looking like there's going to be any, you know, sweeping reform coming through this year.
Well, the drug industry, we know, is a powerful one in Washington. What do these non-reforms, I guess, mean for the industry, for drug companies that may want to keep the status quo?
Right. I mean, obviously, drug makers and all the, you know, cosmetic makers, manufacturers of dietary supplements, any regulation for them is more costly. They have to, you know, report more. They have to hire firms to, you know, help them comply. So certainly, you know, I think there were some industry groups who did want to see some reforms. I know, for example, there was one trade association that had pushed for some clinical trial diversity requirements. But as a whole, I think industry obviously likes to keep the status quo where they are. So it's a win for the industry here.
And when you say clinical trial diversity, do you mean someone advocated for more testing of drugs on children or minority groups before they get approved?
Right. So I think it was more focused on the Biotechnology okay. Innovation Organization, which is a trade group representing kind of biologics and the companies that make them. And I think there were, you know, requirements around especially like racial diversity and age diversity in like what populations are represented in these trials, because sometimes drugs work differently in different people. And if there's not sufficient diversity, then that doesn't kind of capture the safety and effectiveness data for the full range of people who might be using the drugs.
Yeah. And as you said, Rachel, part of this deal renews what are called user fees. This is money yes. provided by the industry to pay for the agency that regulates these companies. So how do these user fees work?
Yeah, so I think it is an unusual arrangement. I think there, you know, some lawmakers certainly through this process have questioned whether it's appropriate. You know, it's a deal between kind of the FDA and drug makers as to the levels of funding, what gets funded, and it's something that's just kind of helped fund the agency for a long time. And it's hard to break that status quo because taxpayers would have to kick in a lot more money to cover, you know, all the programs that are being funded here. So obviously there's questions about conflicts of interest and mm-hmm. how much power the industry has over this. But the alternative is taxpayers kicking in more money to, you know, make sure the agency has independent funding. And that's what FDA leadership would like. But it's just a tough practical fight in Congress to make yeah. that happen.
And for those who are critical or skeptical of this relationship. Is there evidence that this significant industry funding, which I understand provides more and more of the financial pie of the FDA and running the FDA, is there any evidence that this financial relationship has led to concrete rewards to the industry?
Yeah, I think the New York Times did a really great investigation about kind of influence and concerns about which programs get funded and, you know, oversight requirements. These negotiations between industry and the FDA happen behind closed doors, so it's hard to, you know, point to any specific policy. But obviously, when there's this much money flowing, I think there are certainly concerns about what might get funded if decision-making were happening without drug makers at the table.
Yeah, okay. Rachel Kors is Washington correspondent for our partners at Stat News. Rachel, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.